want to say that Bud does not know what I'm preaching on today, and Bud pretty much gave an introduction to the sermon today. Today we're going to talk a little bit about wants and desires. And I just want to preface this by saying, you know, when I went to that retreat last week, 2 weeks ago, I didn't have a choice but to spend time with God. There was no electronics. My phone was often in a drawer, which I was actually happy to do. And I enjoyed it so much that I uninstalled Facebook when I got back home. So if you're trying to notify me of things on there, I'm only going to see it once or twice a week if I pull it up on a computer, because I've just took it off because I so enjoyed being free. And I know that sounds crazy, but I enjoyed being free of media. Like, I don't have to look at it every 30 minutes or every hour and then spend 30 minutes or an hour looking at it and what's going on. And you know what? We need to be informed of what's going on in the world, but you know how we need to be informed? Relationships. We need to be informed by, I actually know you and I'm talking to you, I'm communicating with you, not I'm seeing your perfect world on Facebook, right? That's most of the case. Some people lay out all their dirty laundry on Facebook, but most people, it's my perfect family, my perfect job, my perfect dog, my perfect all these things. And we don't really even know what's going on in their life to begin with, because we only know what they're willing to share. But I had such a freedom, and I spent this time with God. And I'm telling you, some of these messages that I'm going to be giving over the next couple of months came out of just deep prayer and personal time with God. And this is something that God spoke to me. As I was praying, he told me that, Tim, there is a very significant difference between wants and desires. Very significant. Have you ever found yourself wanting to do something that you were not able to do? Right? You're like, I really want to do this, but I just can't. I wish I could do this, but I just, every time I try, things don't work out. I want to make this change. I want to learn this new thing. And it's on my mind off and on, right? It's not like a constant thing, but it's like I think about it and I'm like, that's not going to work because of this or that. And you may try, but you never really act on it, at least not to the point of persistence and dedication where you're going to get through. But then it comes back, right? And you find yourself wishing that you could do it again and you're wanting to do it again. I'm going to tell you, that's how I was with this guitar. This one, the exact one that's up here on the stage. It's exactly how I was, right? I wanted to play a guitar. I also want to be able to sing well, but I haven't really figured out how to do that. But I wanted to play guitar, so I bought one, right? I wanted it. I got one. I learned a little, but not enough, right? I could get the four main chords down, not in enough to play a song, but I could do them one or two at a time. And I got a little bit, but then I got busy. And so I took several months where I did not touch it. It was like 8 or 10 months that I didn't touch it. So I tried to learn again. And I got to the same point. And there was something that I ended up wanting more than a guitar. So I'm like, you know what? I've had that guitar and I want to play it, but I guess I really don't want to play it because I've had it for like 2 years or whatever and I still can't play it. So I wanted something more, so I sold the guitar. I got rid of it. And I bought something else. What I realized is that I really did want to play guitar. Like, I wasn't fooling myself. I wanted to play it. And I still kind of do want to play it. But what I didn't have is I didn't have desire to play it. See, there's a difference between a want and a desire. I wanted to play it. In my mind, I'm like, I would like to be able to play guitar. I would like to be able to just, you know, jam with a couple of friends or whatever. I'd like to just, it'd be cool to be able to do it, to sit in the living room and play a song. I wanted to, in my mind, I wanted to play guitar. But there was no desire. It wasn't something that was in my heart where I was like, I've got to play guitar. Like, I've got to do it. It's like my calling. It's what I want to do with my life. Or it's the main hobby I want to take to take my time. See, we use these words interchangeably, want and desire, but they're not the same thing. They're similar. They're not the same. To want is to feel a need, right? So you feel a need or kind of a desire for something, but it's mostly in your mind. It's mostly emotional charged or just you think about it and you can kind of picture, right? I could picture myself playing the guitar and I was like, I would look pretty awesome playing a guitar. And so I could picture it and you think about how great it would be. That's a want. But a desire is something else. It's an intense craving. It's a longing for something where it's deeper, right? It's not just in your mind. It's something that's in your heart. It's something that you can't shake, right? You have to do it no matter what. It doesn't just come and go. It's like every day you think about it again. I want to do that. I want to do that. I want to do that. But it doesn't easily leave, and you're also going to act on it, right? If it's a desire, you're going to do what you need to do to be able to do that thing. You're not just going to think about it. And I'm telling you, if I actually had a desire to play the guitar, I'd be playing it right now. I wouldn't have sold it. There's a difference there. I would have committed to the time that it took to practice. So you could look at it this way. A want is it's like you're saying, I wish I could have this thing. A desire is more like saying, I will find a way to have this thing no matter what it takes. No matter what I got to do, I will get there. So do you see the difference? Desire is a much more powerful, passionate thing than just a want. You can have good desires, you can have evil desires, but either way, the thing is, desires will lead you to action. Okay? That's how you really can know the difference. If you've never actually acted on it, it's probably just a want. It's probably just a want. It's just something in your mind. It doesn't mean it's a bad thing. But if you have a desire, you're going to do it. You're going to figure it out. You're going to make it a priority. And I want to look at James chapter 1. I know I've preached on this before, but just one section here. Verse 14 to 15 says, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own," what? "Desires. Each one's tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death." See, it's not someone else's fault when we sin. You know, sometimes in society today, we have that blame everyone else mentality. And now I'll tell you, I am all about modesty, and I don't think that women should be putting what they got out there and trying to entice men. But I'm telling you that ultimately it's the man's fault when he is drawn to that woman, because it's his desire that he is acting on when he looks and looks a second time. It's his desire. Okay? She may be the bait and could have done something different, but it's his desire that he's asking on or acting on. And if someone provokes you or they tempt you, I'm going to tell you, it's still not their fault. It's ultimately your fault if you act upon it. Deep down, we have cravings and we have longings for sin, and desire for sinful things will lead you to sin at some point. And I think we all understand this, but the thing is, how do we change our desires, right? Isn't that what we really want? If we're going to rid ourselves of sin, we have to do something about the desires. We have to kind of get down to the root. We talk about getting down to the roots, and there's parables about you got to pull out the root, right? It's going to get deep down in there. It's the desire is what needs to be addressed, and you change desires by changing your life, by changing patterns, by changing what you do and how you view things. But how do we do that? So the main focus here today is Psalm 37, verse 4. It says this: "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." How many of you have used this verse or you've heard this verse as just an encouragement that basically like, man, if you just go after God, he'll give you what you want? I've heard it used like that before, right? If you're going after God, if I'm just happy with God, right? If I delight myself, if I just like God, he'll give me what I want. No, that's not true. If you delight yourself in the Lord, listen, to delight in the Lord means to find peace in the Lord. It means to find fulfillment in the Lord. peace and fulfillment, if you find them in Jesus, I'm going to tell you, then there's something amazing that will take place. It's at that point he will give you the desires of your heart. Do you find peace in Jesus? Do you find fulfillment in him? If you do not, don't expect him to give you the desires of your heart, because the desires of your heart are wicked. Right? But if you're finding peace and fulfillment in him, you're going to be resting in him. You're going to be connected to him. And the desires of your heart, they're going to change. And then he will give you those things. You know, we talk about God giving you the desires of your heart if you find delight in him. I'm going to tell you what this doesn't mean. This does not mean if you are a faithful church attender that today when you go home, there's going to be a Porsche sitting in your driveway. If you go home today and you have a Porsche sitting in your driveway, happy Father's Day. It's from your wife or your children. Okay? Not from God. He didn't magically put one there. Okay? Jesus doesn't reward us for going to church. You realize that? He doesn't reward us for going to church. But he does reward something. This is what he rewards. He rewards our pursuit of him. If we are going after him, if we are looking for that peace and that fulfillment in him, he does reward that. He does act upon that and do something in your life. But it's not the kind of reward that we typically desire, right? Cars, money, fame, things, houses, all these things. These are what people usually desire in a reward. He rewards us in the pursuit of him, but it's not in the things that will burn up. It's in things that will last, things of eternal value. Delighting in the Lord, finding fulfillment in him, finding peace in him. There's another side to this. The Greek word for delight there means anag, A-N-A-G. This is what anag means. It doesn't mean like a person who's like nagging you, okay? When you delight in the Lord, when you anag in the Lord, it also means to be soft, to be delicate, to be dainty. And men are like, I'm not soft, I'm not delicate, I'm not dainty. Then you're not delighting yourself in the Lord. Right? That's where you find yourself when you delight in the Lord. Soft, delicate, dainty. When we're in that kind of position before God, listen, what you're doing is you come before God and you let this gentle Father come down and just take care of you, right? He's gentle. And when we're soft and we're delicate, you know what? Do you know that we're fragile beings? Do you know that we're pretty fragile? We can get hurt pretty easily. That's why you come to the Lord and you come as a delicate and dainty, a soft being, and you just let him, just the skillful master, work on you and fix and repair whatever issues that it is that you have going on. You let him have your way, right? You let him prepare or repair your flaws. I mean, you imagine working on something, and I don't have the patience for this, but people that fix, you know, sculptures and stuff, they got to get in there, right? And sometimes they got to do really delicate little brush, and they got to brush the crumbles out, and they got to fill it in just right and mold it just right. That's what you're letting God do to you when you come to him in this manner, when you delight in him. You let him work on you with the right tools. But you know what? He can only do this if you come before him in this manner and let him work. I'm not talking about a church service, and I'm glad that you're here. I think that church is a very important aspect of growing spiritually and doing God's work. But you know what? There's something more important than church. Do you go before the Lord on your own, in private? Do you go before the Lord? Can you say that you get alone with God and you delight in him? Can you say that you get alone with him and you find peace in his presence? You find fulfillment in his presence. Can you say that this morning? Do you delight in him? Do you sit before God Almighty and say, I'm all your, I'm all yours, right? Check me over. Check out me in this fragile condition. Look at me and do whatever needs done before I crumble, before I begin to crumble to pieces. Or maybe you've already crumbled. Do you sit before the Lord and say, God, I need you to put me back together. God, I so desperately need you to put me together because I'm just fallen to pieces today. Hebrews 6:11 tells us that, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You need more than just believing that Jesus is who he is. You need more than that. You need to diligently seek him, because there are heavenly rewards that are involved in that. He will reward you. You know what? Maybe you want to seek Jesus. Maybe you want to know him more. But what if those aren't your desires? What if it's just something we say? And listen, I'm telling you right now that a month ago I was in this boat right here. I wanted more of Jesus. I wanted more. I'm telling you, standing here before you, I did not desire it because I was not putting the work in. Was I in the Word? Absolutely, because I was preparing sermons. But was I getting alone on my own and saying, God, I need you to work on me. I need you to put me back together. I need you to do your delicate craftsmanship, and I need this peace and fulfillment in you. Was I there? No, I was not. Because I was too busy on the work. I was too busy on life. I was too busy on doing other things. But listen, if you want to seek him and those aren't your desires, there's just one solution to that. And this scripture right here in Hebrews tells us, diligently seek him. Have you ever been in that place where you read the word and you're like, this is dry as a bone and I'm getting nothing out of it? Listen, I started a one-year Bible plan in January, and I was doing really, really good with it. But I'm going to tell you what I was doing, was I was reading my couple Psalms, my couple New Testament verses, and my couple Old Testament verses every day, and I'll tell you what I was getting out of it. Not a thing. But I was able to check the little boxes on the app saying that I read those things, and then I would go on with my day. I was getting nothing out of it. It was terrible, absolutely terrible. But you know what I kept doing is I kept reading, and I kept reading, and I kept reading, and I kept reading. But what I wasn't doing was I was not taking the time to just say, God, this is my time with you. I was saying, I got to read my scriptures. Once I got to the point where I said, you know what, enough is enough, and I'm just going to seek him. And whatever I read, I read. Whatever I don't, I don't. It doesn't matter if it's 2 verses or 4 chapters. It doesn't matter. I'm going to seek God. I'm telling you that he rewarded me for that. I'm telling you that I had renewal in that. I'm telling you that my hunger increased in that. I'm telling you that my passion increased in that. Because his word tells us that if you diligently seek him, that he will reward you. So when it's hard and when you're not feeling it and all these things, you know what? Seek him. It's what his word tells us to do, and he will reward us for that. But to diligently seek, listen, what it means is it means to do it consistently. It doesn't mean once a week. It means every day. I know that's hard, and I've been sitting out there before when pastors have said, you better be reading your Bible every day, you better be doing this every day, and you better be doing that every day, and they were not wrong. Right? But I remember sitting there and thinking, that is impossible. That is impossible to be able to do that stuff every single day. No, it's not. No, it's not impossible. It's impossible because you don't have a desire for it. If you had a desire for it, it would be possible. You know what? If you have a desire to watch a ball game, you will watch the ball game. I don't have cable, but I have internet, and I will, if my internet's not working and I can't watch the game and I really want to watch it, I'll go to my dad's, right? Because he has cable. If I have a desire, I will figure out a way. My dad's not home, I'll go to Buffalo Wild Wings, right? I will figure out a way if I have a desire to watch that game, right? If you want to do something and it's a desire that you have, you will figure it out and you will make it happen. And so if you're saying that I can't do the every single day spending time with God, what you're saying is it's not my desire. Okay, and I'm not trying to beat you up about this. I'm saying if it's not your desire, what you have to do is you have to do it anyway. Do it anyway. And it will become a desire. It will become a desire. And don't take me wrong. Don't just do the check the boxes. I'm saying sit alone. It doesn't matter how uncomfortable it is. If you haven't done it before or you haven't done it for a long time, you can sit in a room and you can be like, this is weird, right? This is like, I don't really like it. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. You know what? This is what I learned. Literally the most important thing that you can do in your time alone with God is just be quiet. Just be quiet. You don't have to have worship music on. If you want to, that's cool, but you don't have to. You don't have to. Just open your Bible and sit there and just be quiet. And just listen. Maybe read a little bit. Don't say, I'm going to read 7 chapters. Right? Just open it up and read a little bit and then just be quiet. I'm telling you that if you do this, and it may take days and days, but the word tells us that when we go into our secret place and we close the door, that the Father is there. It doesn't say he'll show up. It says he's there. And so when you go into that place and you're feeling like, I don't know what to do or this is uncomfortable, the reason you have to be persistent is because he's there. He is there. And it may take a few days. It may take you, it may take some time of God just getting you used to being quiet. Take a notepad. Write things that come to your mind that you can't get off. Write them down. Write them down and set it to the side. Get out of here. I know I got to go grocery shopping later. Write it down. Set it to the side. Oh yeah, I need milk. You know what? If you got to pick it up 100 times and write stuff down, pick it up and write it down and get it out of your way. But be diligent. Constantly seek him. Be persistent. Don't give up. And you know what? When you have a day that you mess up and you didn't do it, you didn't make a priority, I'm going to tell you 2 words. Well, 3, I guess, if you count the apostrophe. It's okay. Do you know that it's okay? Do you know that God does not love you anymore if you spend 3 hours with him today than he does if you spend no minutes with him today? Do you know that his love for you does not change based on how much you're giving and how much you're doing and all these things? They're all benefits of that. They all come from that, but it's just like a real relationship, right? My wife isn't going to love me less if I'm busy tomorrow and I don't talk to her all day. She'll miss me and she'll long for that time with me and she'll be like, can we get some time alone? It'd be great because we haven't really seen each other for a couple of days. But she doesn't love me less. But why do we think that with God when I screw up and I didn't spend my 15 minutes with him this morning or my hour and now I'm not going to do it anymore because he's mad at me? That's stupid. I'm sorry, but it just, and I've been there. But it's foolish that we think that he responds to us in that way. What he's looking for is, man, Crystal, I just hope that you spend some time with me tomorrow or today. I don't care that you didn't yesterday. I'm not mad about that. Just, I need the time with you today. Just come back. Be consistent. Try it over and over again. The word tells us that when we seek him diligently, he will reward us. And we will see change in our lives. Listen, only then, only when we find ourselves in this place, does God give us the desires of our heart. It's only when we're in this place when we find fulfillment in him. Man, when we find fulfillment, when we spend some time with him and we're like, man, like whatever happens the rest of this day, who cares? Right? I spent time with God. I'm floating on the clouds. I'm ready to go tackle the world and take it on. Who cares? You know, this reward, again, it's not going to be in material things. If I delight in Jesus, if I'm fulfilled in Jesus, then he becomes the desire of my heart. He becomes the thing that satisfies me. Think about things that satisfy you just for a moment, just for a season. Right? Yesterday, I had this thing where I was like, we had gone to Effingham to get a couple things, and I think you've heard me talk before, but Dunkin' Donuts has $2 to $6 iced coffees, any size. I get like the 32-ounce because it's a dollar. And so we get those a lot because even if there's all four of us, it's $4, you know, for a treat. And we got those, but then we went into Rule King or Walmart, and I was like, man, I could really go for a Coke right now. And Christy's like, you got a 32-ounce iced coffee in the car. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. I drank that at some point. We ended up going out to my dad's, and he had Pepsi in the fridge, which is not as good, but whatever. It was still cold. It was in a can, and it was cold. And I was like, I saw that in there, and I was like, oh, man, I want that. And I drank it, and it was so good, right? It was great. I was like, finally, I got me some cola, nice cold cola. It was satisfying. I felt after that, I was like, I didn't need another one. I was like, I'm good with that. That's what I needed. You know what? I could drink those. There's days where maybe I'll want a couple of them, and I try not to drink them at all if I can help it. But there's days where I could drink a few of them. But you know what? I can't drink ice cold Coke all day long every day. At some point, I need water. Right now, I need water. It's probably because I said that, because I drank coffee this morning. Right? But at some point, that temporary satisfaction, it just doesn't work for me anymore. And I need something more. I need water. There's times where nothing satisfies like a good bowl of ice cream. Amen? Right? All right? Sometimes it doesn't even have to be good ice cream. Right? It's just like any ice cream. Just get me plain vanilla, the generic version, whatever, the one that's like really yellow instead of white or whatever. But it's like, but if you're really craving it and that's what you've got or that's what you see, you'll eat it and you'll just be like, that's good. I mean, you probably add stuff to it, right? You put syrup on it and everything. But there's times where ice cream, I can eat ice cream, but listen, I can't just eat ice cream over and over. It's a temporary satisfaction. At some point, I'm going to want some meat, right? At some point, I'm not going to be like, I'll eat ice cream for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I'm like, for breakfast, I don't normally eat ice cream for breakfast. I guess I shouldn't have said that. For lunch, I'm going to want a brat and a hamburger, right? Both. I said and. You can keep the vegetables. I'll eat the brat and the hamburger. But ice cream only satisfies for a short period of time, and then I want something more. That's how the things of this world are. A lot of times they satisfy us for a moment. They're things that we can thoroughly enjoy, and they can be great, and sometimes our sin is like that too. That's why we do it, because we enjoy it. But you know what? The satisfaction that it brings can only last so long, and then you're going to want something more. When we are truly satisfied in Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you that you don't need anything else. That's not a temporary thing where like, well, that was good for a bit, but now I need something else. You're going to want more and more and more of him. The problem is we rarely get to the place where we're satisfied in him. We rarely get to that place. But if we do, he becomes our desire. And the problem with people today is they want the benefits of Jesus without making the commitment to Jesus. I want the benefits of Christianity. I'm going to go to church. We drove by a Catholic church over in Effingham last night, and we were like, how is there so many cars there? Right? They want the benefits of going to church, but do they have a relationship with Jesus? People in this room today, maybe you want the benefits of going to church, but do you know Jesus? Because that's all that matters. Church is not going to fulfill you. You forget about church after you get done with lunch, maybe before lunch. Jesus is what satisfies. Why do people not make those commitments? What are our true desires? I loved what Bud said when he shared earlier. He said, I'm not just saying this to you. I'm speaking this to myself too. I'm considering this for myself. And I've shared that before and know that when I'm saying these things, that's exactly what I mean. I'm preaching to me. You're just listening. And hopefully it's ministering to you. But what are your true desires? Listen, I'm like, stop playing games and stop trying to fool yourself. And what are your true desires? What are the things that you crave, the things that you long for? What are the things that you feel like you can't live without, you can't go a day without, you can't wait until you do it again? What are those things? I'm going to tell you, don't give the Christian answer, Jesus, if you're not spending time seeking him, because it's not a desire of yours. It's not. It's just lip service. And you know, right now, in the moment, you may want it. That's a want. Because in the moment, it's like, this sounds good, fulfilling. I would like that. That could be a want. But listen, if it was a desire, you would do whatever it took to get it. You would do whatever it took. You would sacrifice sleep. You would sacrifice hobbies. You would sacrifice all the things that we spend our time on to do whatever we had to do to spend time with Jesus if it was our true heart's desire. You may say that you want to change. And you know what? Maybe you do. But it's the desire that we follow. It's the desire that we act upon. Listen, when is enough enough? Right? When do we quit just thinking about pursuing Jesus more? When should we just stop thinking about it? And you know what? Today is it. I've had it. I'm doing whatever it takes to get there. What does it take to get us to that point where we just stop wishing that we knew Jesus more? We stop wishing that we had a better relationship with him, and we actually commit to diligently seeking him. Because I'm going to tell you, until we get to that point, there is nothing else that's going to change. Right? I've told people a few different times in different settings that there's parts of my life that sometimes I feel like I'm in that movie Groundhog Day, like I've already lived this day and it stunk and I don't want to do it again. Right? There are times in my life, and whether it's in ministry, whether it's at home, whether it's doing different things, there are times where I'm like, I've already lived this. Lord, come on. Like, why do I got to live this again? And it's probably because I didn't learn the lesson the last time. Might be why I'm living it again. But you know what? The time when things actually change are when we get to that place where we're fulfilled in Christ, where we have peace in Christ, where we're spending time with him, where we actually know him more. Are you willing to diligently seek him? Psalm 38:9 tells us, Lord, all my desire is before you, and my sighing is not hidden from you. Listen, all your desire is before the Lord. He knows exactly what you long for. He knows exactly what you crave. You're not fooling him for an instant. And he loves you anyway. Hallelujah. What a savior. If you want to change, you have to take time, make it a priority, and go after him. It's the only way. You don't have to start with a desire for him. You start with diligently seeking, and you will be rewarded with that desire. When's the last time you sat down? Some of you even opened your Bibles. How many of you got more dust on your Bible than on anything else, right? When's the last time you sat down with your Bible? When's the last time you sat down in a room quiet without distractions? The spouse taking care of the kids or whatever you need to do, but I got quiet time, I'm alone, there's no distractions, and you prayed, you listened, you read, you worshiped. If you can't honestly pinpoint exactly when that time was, don't you think that it's time that you start? If you can't pinpoint the exact time, the exact day, exactly what you were doing, don't you think that today is the day that you should start? And if you can pinpoint that day and it wasn't recent, like within the last couple of days, don't you think it's time that you get back on the horse? Don't you think that it's time that you pursue the one thing that can actually change our lives? You know, we talk about prayer and how important it is. And you know what? I believe that prayer can change lives. I believe prayer is powerful, yet we don't pray. Are you kidding me? It's the same thing with Jesus. I know Jesus is powerful. I know Jesus can change my life. I know a relationship with him is better than anything. I know all the answers. But if you're not actually pursuing him and spending the time with him, are you kidding me? This is the thing we need to be saying to ourselves, people. If you want the fire of God in your life, you know what you have to do is you have to get close to the fire. Right? You can take something that can catch fire, like a t-shirt, and go sit it in the middle of the yard, and it's probably not going to catch on fire. But if you throw it in the fire, it's going to burn. If you get too close to the fire, your shirt may catch on fire. You got to get close to the fire, or you got to get in the fire. You can't just be sitting in the yard hoping it happens. You know, in Exodus, Moses, he had a real desire for his people to be free. You know how we know he had a real desire? Because he killed somebody, yet he went back. And he's like, I don't know what's going to happen to me, but I'll go back. He longed for this. It's something he couldn't shake. It was deep within him. And he went back to Egypt. And even when he went before Pharaoh, he went again and again and again. This is the man who had the power to kill him. And he just went back again and again. It wasn't because he was bold or crazy. It's because he had desire to see the captives set free. He wanted Israel to be free, but the want wasn't enough. He had an encounter with God. Remember the burning bush? He encounters this fire of God, God Almighty, and he spent time with him. He listened to him. He didn't do a lot of talking at the burning bush. God did most of the talking, and Moses caught fire with God's desire, right? It was imparted into him because of the time that he spent with God, and he had this desire to set the people free. Listen, I'm going to tell you that I know for sure this would have never happened if Moses didn't spend time listening to God. It wouldn't have happened. It only happened because he spent time with God first. Psalm 27:4, one thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. This was David, the man after God's own heart. He desired these things, and we know that because he sought these things. We see it over and over in the Psalms where he's crying out. Listen, if we seek the things of the world, we will desire the things of the world. That's true. We seek those things, we will desire those things. If we seek the things of heaven, we will desire more of God. In the parable of the sower, right, Jesus tells about these seeds sown in different kind of ground, different kind of soil, and he tells what happens to them. And he speaks of this one that's about worldly desires in Mark chapter 18, or 4, verse 18 and 19. He has the explanation here. He says, now these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Did you hear that? These are the people that hear the word. These are the people that are probably sitting in church on a Sunday morning or a Saturday night or whenever it might be. These people are hearing the word of God. They're not complete heathens, you know, sitting at home sleeping in on Sunday. They're probably in church. They probably come every week. But their desire for the other things of this life choke out every bit of what they hear on Sunday morning. Chokes it out. Wants are in the mind, but desires are in the heart. Who's choking out the word of God in your life? What's choking out the word of God in your life? What are those things? The things that you think about, the things that you long for, the things that you crave. What changes do you need to make? What things do you need to eliminate from your routine and change from your routine? Whatever you give the most time to is probably going to take over the desire of your heart. I'm telling you, I am not a morning person. All the people that keep telling me, the older you get, it'll happen. Pastor Dan tells me that all the time. The older you get, the more, I'm like, listen, dude, I'm 30, almost 39. It has not happened. I think I get less of a morning person every year that goes by. I've told you, I like to go to bed early and get up late. I'm not a night owl or a morning person. But you know what I did? I made this commitment. Now, it started on the retreat that I didn't have any agenda. I'd get up at like 7, 7:30 and go spend time with God, but I didn't have to do anything afterwards. Now that I've been back home, it's been a little bit of an adjustment. I'm like, now I actually have to do stuff too, right? And you know what I started doing is I just started getting up early. I don't like getting up early. But I decided, you know what? My desire is to know God more. My desire is to spend more time with God. I'm going to get up early. I might not like any minute of the process of getting up early, but I have not regretted it one time. I've not regretted doing it one single time, because I tell you what, the fruit of what I'm seeing in my life, the fruit of what I'm seeing in my prayer time and as I read through my word, is it's worth more than that hour of sleep. And you know what? I am getting tired earlier and I am wanting to go to bed earlier. And you know, the rest of my family's kind of like, are you ready to go to bed already? I'm like, yeah, because I'm tired, right? But I tell you what, I don't regret it, not for one second, because I see the fruit of what is happening in my life. There's this quote by John Bevere. It said, "We will always follow desire's course, no matter how good our intentions are." It doesn't matter how good your intentions are, what your wants are. You will follow the course of what your desires are. And if your desires are not for time with God, you have to be diligent in seeking Him. And that will change. People say their desires to walk away from the influence of the world and to seek God. But listen, when they don't follow through with that, what it shows is that they're not in touch with what their true desires are. There's a story of this man. John Bevere told this story also. The story of this man, he was saved, but he was still addicted to cigarettes. Okay, so he's saved, comes to church every week, addicted to cigarettes. And he does everything that he can to get free. He's like, I pray on my own. He fasted. He came to the altar and asked other people to pray for him. He was on the prayer list. He did everything he could think of to get free. And it just wasn't happening, no matter what he did. No freedom. Still addicted. Can't shake it. So he invites his friend to church. There's a guest speaker, and he invites the friend to church. Not saved, also addicted to cigarettes. The friend comes to the altar call, gets saved on the spot, gets set free. He's no longer addicted to cigarettes. He goes home, throws them out, doesn't crave them anymore. And the first guy, the friend, he's like, man, I'm really happy for you. I'm really happy for my friend. But at the same time, he's kind of upset with God. He's like, why would he free my friend on the spot? And I've been praying about this for months. I've been fasting. I've been having other people pray for me. I've done all the things that I'm supposed to do to get free. And on him, you did it instantly. Why did you do that? And you won't do it for me when I'm going through all these things that I'm supposed to do. So he went home and he prayed and he told God exactly how he felt about it. You've heard me say before, it's totally fine to tell God exactly how you feel. And he tells him and he says, why? Why, God? Tell me why you freed my friend and I am still bound in addiction. Why did my friend get freed? And all I've done, week after week, I'm still addicted. And he said he heard God say clearly. He said he actually heard God say audibly in the room, "It's because you still like them. You're not free because you still like them. You still enjoy them. And you're asking me to free you of something that you have this desire for and this passion for that you're not willing to turn loose. You just want me to uproot it and rip it out without you doing the work." This man, he wanted to be free, but that was just his want and that was his intention. That's not what his desires were. God's people have to come to the realization, they have to come to the place where they do not like their sin, where they do not like their situation, where they do not enjoy it. And I know sometimes it's like, well, surely I'm not enjoying, you know, my struggle with the bottle or my struggle with pornography or my struggle with gossip or whatever it is, because I keep praying about it and I want to get free of it. No, but when you're doing it, are you enjoying it? In that moment, at that time, do you kind of like it? Like you're like, I know it's wrong, but I like it. That's what this guy's problem was he actually liked it. And God said, you have to come to a place where you hate your sin, where you don't want to do it. And then your desire for it will change. And then I can uproot it and I can rip it out. We've got to come to the place where we're not just satisfied knowing about Jesus, but we desperately need to know him on an intimate level. That can't just be something that we're saying with our lips. We've got to seek him. We've got to go after him. It takes a step of faith and it takes a step of obedience. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 16:24, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Does anyone desire to follow me? This is not the initial introduction to who Jesus is. Because you wouldn't have desire if you just saw him for the first time, unless he's been speaking for a while. But he's saying, if you have a passion for me, if you have a longing and a craving to follow me, then come on. Come with me. Come after me. It's not just a want. It's not just, those guys seem pretty cool, I'd like to travel along with them. He's saying, no, if you are receiving what I'm saying, if you're receiving this message and you feel it in here and you're ready to come along, you are welcome. Come on, let's go. We got work to do. Do you desire to come after Jesus? Do you desire him? Because if you do, he says, deny yourself. Deny yourself. Get to a place where you hate that sin, where you hate not having fellowship with him, where you hate the fact that you've went all day and you've not talked to him. Besides, Lord, I really need you to change this red light to a green light. Have you really sought him and gone after him? Do you desire him? Are you willing to deny yourself, forget how you feel, forget what you want to do, change your plans, and follow him? I'm talking about spending time with him, real time, quiet time, dedicated time. And I'm telling you, if you're in a rut and you want to get out of the rut permanently, that's the only way to do it. Otherwise, you may get out for a day and you're going to be back in it tomorrow. It's the only way to get out permanently. And you know what Christians have to do is we've got to stop living our lives, our relationship with Jesus through other people. We've got to stop letting other people be our only connection to God. We have to stop it. Church leaders are not responsible for your relationship with Jesus. You are. Say, I am. I am responsible for my relationship with Christ. You are responsible for your relationship. It's not about church leaders. It's not about your parents. It's not about your husband or wife. It's not about your friends. Sure, we can be edified and built up, and that is part of the process that should pull us closer and closer. But I'm telling you what, you are responsible for your personal relationship with him. And you will not receive it by listening to this message alone. You will not receive it by watching the online, the TV sermons, or listening to one on YouTube. You will not receive and maintain a relationship with Christ by just listening to other people talk about him. If you look back when God freed the Israelites from Egypt, right? Moses was their leader. And who would go and meet with God? Moses. Moses would go and meet with God, and he would come back after spending time with God because it was his priority. And he would hear the voice of God, and he would share with them. In Exodus 20, we have this instance. It's right after the Ten Commandments. There's thunder, and there's lightning, and there's trumpets, and there's this smoking mountain. And this is what the people say to Moses. You speak with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. This is what they say to their leader. We don't want to hear from God. We want to hear God through you. Because, like, you know our condition, like, you know kind of how we feel, and you don't have the power to kill us. You don't really have the power to do anything about it, so we're totally fine by you being the filter. Let's have everything that God has to say through me, to me, come through some other man who's living right. That way I don't have to. He was the filter. They wanted to hear through him. They didn't want to do it for themselves because they were afraid of God's presence because he knows their heart. He knows their desires. He knows that their heart is still in Egypt. Is this not the case with the overwhelming majority of the people that call themselves Christians in the United States of America? Right? There's people that sit in church every Sunday and they may listen to podcasts and they may go to conferences. They may do all this stuff. They're all about hearing the word of God through another man or woman, yet they don't take any time to do it for themselves. Why? Is it because you're scared? Is it because you're afraid to be in a room alone with a holy God who knows your situation? Because I'll tell you what, if you find yourself in that place, you need to understand that a holy God knows your condition and he wants that time with you anyway. You don't have to fear him unless you're unwilling to change. If you're willing to say, God, again, I want to delight in you. I want to have peace in your presence, and I want to allow you to work on me. If that's your motivation and that's your desire, you have no fear to be alone with God. And why wouldn't you want to hear what he has to say to you directly? I'm going to tell you what, I've received prophetic words, and I've had people pray things over me that were spot on what I needed, and I'm like, this is amazing. I can't believe that God would speak through another person and know that exact intricate detail of my life that I've not shared. And that does not compare to the times where God has spoken directly to me on much smaller, much simpler matters. Those are the things where I'm like, God Almighty spoke this to me. And this is a treasure. This is something that I love and that I long for. These people in Israel, these people liked their sin and they wanted to walk in their sin, but they still wanted the voice of God through Moses. Their hearts were in Egypt. You know, there comes a time where we have to give up the things of this world. We have to deny ourselves and we have to say, you know what? Worldly lusts, worldly desires, I'm going to have to walk away from you because it's time for me to go up this mountain by myself. It's time for me to go pursue God. And you know what? Sometimes it's like you are climbing a mountain. You've got to get there, right? It's a process. It's a journey. It's day after day of seeking him. But you've got to do that. You've got to make that commitment. No more lip service. Make the commitment. I'm going after God. I want to see him. I want to know him. We've got to stop relying on others to get our word from God. It should be in addition. It should be a benefit. It should be something that aids your walk, not makes your walk. If church is what makes your walk, listen, you don't have a walk. You don't. It doesn't make your walk. It's just an aid. It's a helper to your walk. It's to prepare you. Church is to prepare you to do the work of the ministry. You are responsible for your relationship with Jesus, your time with Jesus. That's what makes your walk. We've got to stop talking about it, and we've got to start doing it. Make the changes today, and if you aren't willing to, then I'm going to tell you, don't expect things to get any different. Groundhog Day is coming your way. It's coming. If you're not going to make the change, things will stay the same. It's a guarantee. We've got to stop filling up on junk so we can actually have a hunger for God. Do you know that? My favorite part of the year is right now. I'm busier than I am any other time of the year, but you know what? All the TV shows that we watch them on like NBC's website and stuff, all those shows are on a break. I don't have anything to watch. So I'm like, what do I do in the evening? I guess I'll have to read a book or something. I guess I'll have to sit out on the swing. I guess I'll have to talk, you know, to my family about stuff. The best time of the year. It's when there's no shows on, no new shows. We have to do something different. We've got to stop filling up on junk if we want to have a hunger for God. Who cares what our wants are? We need to get our desires right. We need to get our desires right. Seek Jesus. Do it diligently, and his desires will become our desires. Get out of bed in the morning. Turn off the TV at night. Find a quiet place. Work out a deal with your spouse. Like, you can have this 30 minutes and I'll have this 30 minutes. Take the kids somewhere or let me go somewhere or whatever. Work out whatever you need to do to make it possible for you to have that time alone with God. And I'm putting you to the test this week, and I'm going to say, I want you to commit to trying it. And then if it does not change your life, I want you to come and prove me wrong and tell me. But you can only do that if you commit to trying it. Day after day after day for a couple of weeks. Don't try it once. Day after day, you've got to be consistent. I'm going to tell you, do you know today that your life depends on it? Your life depends on it. If you want life to remain the same, then continue doing what you're doing. But if you want God to move in power, change and transform your life and your situation and everything that you know, then you will spend the time with him. You'll seek him. You will desire him. At this time, what we're going to do today, I know this is Father's Day and Christy had something planned, but this morning as I was praying, and I'm telling you guys, I've put this offer out there before and people don't usually take us up on it, but if you want to come in for worship practice and just worship, I can't tell you the last time that I didn't feel the powerful presence of God during worship practice. That is literally my favorite time of the week. Worship practice. I don't like to miss it on the occasions that I do. But God spoke something very clear and very direct to me this morning that we're going to do to end the service. He actually showed me a visual picture of it, and I saw people in this church. And this is what we're going to do. I'm going to have just a moment. If you guys would stand with me. Here's what we're going to do. We are going to have the men of the church, that means high school and older. So high school and older, if you're in high school, you're a man. We're going to have you guys come to the front in a moment. And what we're going to do is we're going to have every other person in this place is going to come behind them and lay hands on them. And we are going to pray for this right here, for desire, for passion, for the power of God, because I'm telling you that it makes a significant difference when the men of the church step up in this way. It's going to make a significant difference when the men, and you know what, if your man is not here, I'm going to tell you, we should be just as excited about God doing that in the other men of the church, right? It doesn't, even if it's not your husband or your dad or whoever, we need God to move powerfully in the men of the church, and we'll pray for those who aren't here as well. Do you realize that's critical to the life of our church? Do you realize it's critical to have godly men setting the example for the other young men that are coming up and for the women? Do you know that too? What we're going to ask for is I'm going to ask men, go ahead and come forward. Line up across the front here. And this is going to be a little different. We're not playing music and everything, right? We're just asking for the power of God. I'm not asking for the swaying of emotions or any of these things. What we're asking is for God Almighty to speak to and touch the men of this church and those who are not here today. So you guys get in close. Don't leave gaps. And I want ladies, if somebody could go get Sherry and the kids, have them come in here. And what we're going to do is we're going to have the ladies and the kids come, and they're going to be behind you, laying hands on you. It doesn't matter if it doesn't have to be your family that you're connecting with. We just want to make sure that everybody's involved in this. And I'm telling you, I believe that God is going to do something. We've been praying on Tuesday nights for years for the men of this church. You can ask people that frequently attend Tuesday nights. For years, we've been praying for the men of this church and for God to move powerfully. And I believe he's going to do it today. So if you would, go ahead and start laying your hands on the men. And what I want you to do, men, is we're going to seek God. If you have to repent of not going after him, you can do that. But other than that, I just want you to just receive. If you need to repent, you can say, Lord, forgive me for not coming after you, for not spending time with you. But beyond that, I just want you to receive whatever it is that God has for you today. So it's all right if they're just come on down. We're going to have the kids be a part of this too. We want you guys laying hands on the men of the church. And this is not how we're ending for Father's Day. That's why I was confused. I was like, God, we already had plans. And he said, that's okay. We have to be ready to adapt, ready to change. Isaiah, you can come up and lay. You're a kid too, so you can come up and lay hands on them as well. All right, so lay hands on the men's backs here and make sure everybody's got somebody on them, so we got a full connection going here. And Father, we thank you and praise you for the men of this church. God, we know that desperately in this season, in this day and age, in this country, in this community, the way that things are, that godly men are desperately needed. God, we need godly men to set the example of how these young men should treat their mothers and their sisters and their future brides and their future daughters. God, we need these godly examples in our lives. Lord, we need these women, the wives, to be loved as they're supposed to, and the daughters to be loved as they're supposed to. And God, we ask right now for a desperation, a hunger, a desire to come over the men of this church, that God, we will not sit on our hands any longer, but beginning today, we will seek you, and we will seek you diligently. We will seek you for answers for our family, for our careers, for our church, for our community, for all the questions that we have. Lord, let us stop being strong men that are relying on our own strength. Let us be weak men that are relying on the strength of God Almighty. Less of us and more of you. God, we pray for that hunger. Lord, don't let this just be an empty prayer that we're praying, but God, we ask for a download of your Spirit right now upon the men of this church, those who are a part of this church who are not here today. God, touch them right where they're at. Speak to their hearts. Change their lives. Lord, give us a desperation for you. God, that we will see our families changed. God, that this right here is the start of something new, something fresh, something powerful. God, that you will begin to break down the walls that we have put up. God, give us trust and hope in you, Lord, not in our own strength, not in our own wisdom. But God, the wisdom we have, we thank you, God, because you are the source of true wisdom. God, you are the one who's given us the gifts and the talents that we have. And today we declare that we will use them for you, for your purposes, for your glory. God, give us a sense of urgency to be those that walk in holiness. God, we are to be holy because you are holy. God, you are holy, which means you are uncommon. You are not like everything else. And I desire and ask right now that the men of this church, myself included, that we would not be like everyone else, but that we would be different, that we would be full of love and compassion. And Lord, that we can be strong-minded, we can be strong physically, we can do a lot of great things, but if we're not empowered by your Spirit, none of the rest of it matters. And we pray right now, Lord, Holy Spirit, fill us from head to toe and use us in power that your name could be glorified, that we could see our lives changed, our families saved. God, for those men right here at this altar, God, I pray over each and every one of them that they come to know you if they don't already, that they would walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, that they would be that living example that our society needs. Lord, we're tired of churches being known for men not being prevalent, and that the women do most of the leading and the women do most of the praying. We say that today that is no more. Lord, we're thankful for those women, but let the men arise and step into the leadership roles that you have designed them for. God, that men are designed to be leaders. They're born to be leaders. They're born, God, to live for your purposes. And today we declare that over their lives. Lord, we ask today, right now, Lord, that as we depart from this service in just a few moments, God, that we would be carriers of the fire of God. Lord, that we would be those light bearers that we're called to be. Lord, that things will be different. Things will change. And Lord, I ask right now for these men, that those that are committed to spending time with you, to seeking you, to going after you right now, that the enemy has no will, no power over their lives, that he will not pull them away. He will not distract them, but they will be continuous. They will be steadfast. They will persevere in their pursuit of you. And your word says, those that pursue you, God, that you will reward them. And Lord, that you will give them the desires of their heart as they become the desires of your heart. And so we thank you for that. We praise you for that, Lord. And we thank you for these amazing women and children that you have blessed us with as well. God, we pray right now, this isn't just about men because it's Father's Day, but I know that you asked me to pray specifically for the men, but we pray for these women that their desire would increase. Lord, that they would continue to seek you and pursue you, and they would be godly influences for their husbands and for their fathers and for their friends. And Lord, for this church, we thank you for each and every one of them. Draw them close to you and use them in power to change this world today. We thank you and praise you. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.